Welcome to Just Around the Corner. This is a podcast that explores the lives of interesting people, examining the moments in their lives that encouraged and challenged them. And as a result, may their stories challenge and encourage your life for what's just around the corner for you. My guest again today is Mr. Cody Rome, an officer in the U.S. Naval Reserve, U.S. Navy Academy graduate, and a businessman. This is part two of a conversation that we had that may encourage you. I'm Dennis Mansfield.
Thank you for joining Just Around the Corner with Dennis Mansfield. As John Hay, one of the most famous men of the 19th century, once said, all the great prizes in life are just around the corner. Let's go there together.
Well, welcome back to Just Around the Corner. I'm Dennis Mansfield. It's an honor to have you with us. And it's episode two of a visit that I'm having with Cody Rome, a dear friend of mine, really a man who has... I've seen him grow into his manhood based on knowing his mom and dad for decades. And so, Cody, when I know you, I know you not as the young kid I saw bouncing around, but as the man I see leading people. And today we're going to talk about leading, and we're going to talk about your time at the United States Naval Academy and my time at the United States Military Academy. Not necessarily an Army versus Navy, because we always know how those football games turn out, don't we?
We just won't talk about the last
one. All right, I won't bring it up. And so for our viewers and our listeners who are moms and dads, some who are young men and women, that are wondering about, I've heard about this Naval Academy. I've heard about West Point. Are they the same thing? What do they do? I've said this, and I told you off the air, that there are essentially three phases to an academy, for anybody going to an academy. One is that they get all the PR stuff in the mail. They're a high school or first year college student, mm-hmm. and they get this PR. You got it. It came to you. You were recruited to go to the Naval Academy.
Yeah.
And you had a certain attitude about what to expect. So did I, in anticipation, go to West Point. But then there's the second thing about the academies, and that's actually going and the life you live. Mm-hmm. And then the third is once you've done and you've gone from the academy, you come back. We come back. Graduates and ex-cadets and ex-midshipmen come back and visit where they were. For the sake of this particular show and for the people that are interested in the academies, let's start off with number one. What was it like for you when they were PRing you to come to the academy?
Yeah, so good place to start, because I think it's good to know how to actually get involved with the service academies in the first place. And at least through my personal experience, I think I had quite a different experience in this first phase than maybe some others in different parts
how
of the
so?
Country. So, well, first of all, I didn't really know anything about the service academies, really at all. Maybe my parents did kind of know at least a little bit. Clearly, they had to have, but we never really talked about it growing right. up, or maybe I just was an idiot and didn't remember. but there wasn't really a lot of campaigning in our area, you know, no advertisements, and there wasn't, at the time, there wasn't anything at the schools, at high school, that really promoted it. But as we discussed in the last episode, how I came to knowledge about service academies was I got a letter in the mail one day, mm-hmm. And it wasn't from their, you know, admissions office or anything like that. It was from the head cross country coach, Al Cantello, at basically a recruiting letter saying, hey, you know, you should come run for us, run cross country for the Naval Academy.
You're opening that letter up, reading it, going, what?
Yeah, and so opening that up was like, well, first of all, like, what is this? Like, this seems kind of cool. And truth be told, it was probably my parents were like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You probably need to take a closer look at this.
So that was the reason from a parent's point of view is very clear. Ladies and gentlemen, It's very expensive to go to a military academy paid for by the taxpayers. You see, your mom and dad, my mom and dad, never paid a dime. Mm-hmm. We went, and Uncle Sam, a great uncle to have,
yes,
took care of us to be able to go. And what do they value 4 years at the Naval Academy now at, roughly, would you guess?
Oh, my gosh. I think the last number I heard, which actually was, I think, the other week, was almost like $400,000.
Think of that, $400,000.
Almost half a million.
For your son, your daughter, your grandson, your grand, to go to college. And what? To get paid to go there at the same time. Because you received, as I did, not so much a salary, but a stipend. And do you remember what it was when you were there?
Well, as a freshman, I think it was like $100 a month. Mm-hmm. If that.
And then it builds up.
It slowly builds up each year.
Yeah. Yeah, the numbers haven't really changed over the years.
Not really.
And at that point, you made the decision, well, I'll investigate the Naval Academy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, for me, it was a little bit different. I grew up in an Air Force family, lived all over the world. My dad was a senior NCO. He was a chief master sergeant of the Air Force. Not of the Air Force, but in the Air mm-hmm. Force. And he said, you know what? I think you should go to the Air Force Academy. So I had this PR thing right from
the
start.
Right off the bat, yeah.
And as a rebellious youth, I'm like, what? He says, let me put the package together and let me see what I can do. Completely converse to what your experience was. I said, okay, great. So one Saturday afternoon, I'm sitting with a bag of Lay's potato chips on my 17-year-old stomach, watching old movies, and this movie, They Died With Their Boots On, came on, and it was the story of George Armstrong Custer and his time at West Point and then going into the United States Army. Clearly not a role model that a mom and dad would say, honey, why don't you watch a Custer movie and go to his school? But I don't know whether it was the Lay's potato chips or the Dr. Pepper, but whatever, the combination made me go, hey, that looks like a great school, purely from the theatrics of a motion picture.
It's from a TV show.
And so I wrote a letter to them. They sent me a note back. Well, you have to get an appointment. And because your dad was military, you can apply to the President of the United States. I said, okay. So I sat down and wrote another letter, and I wrote it to President Richard Nixon. And I said, I think I'd like to go to West Point. My dad knows nothing of this. He is just doing paper after paper after paper for this Air Force Academy nomination, which is a fine academy. It is a wonderful academy. And I just, in my own childish rebellion, didn't want to go there because Dad wanted me to go there. I get a letter back from Richard Nixon. And he says, Dennis, people don't normally write me. Thanks for doing this. I go, okay.
Okay.
And he says, I'll have a staff member get in contact with you. So I get a phone call from the White House from some staff guy who then walked me through it as if I was an orphan or something that I didn't know what to do. But I clearly did not tell mom and dad.
Oh, my goodness.
So I applied all on the QT. Now, you got word about your nomination. Now, there are two parts to this. A man or a woman, young man or woman, gets nominated, and then they get accepted.
Yes.
So you can be appointed, which is the nomination process, mm-hmm. but it's the acceptance that actually gets us in. Tell us about that. Where were you when you found out you were actually accepted to go to the Naval Academy?
So when I found out that I got accepted was February of my senior year.
Not unusual. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So pretty soon before that next term in summertime, found out. I think it's also important to know that before you even get accepted, there's this whole process, application process, nomination process, that, yes. like you mentioned, that you have to go through to even get to that point of being eligible to be accepted.
Yes.
Well, one, you know, you could do all the secret legwork of writing the President of the United States on your own. Apparently, I didn't know that was a thing you could do.
It's probably been covered over by the ages of dust and sand as the new process of going online is.
Right. You know. But you still need the nomination either from the president or from one of your local senators or congresspeople to give you the thumbs up that, hey, this is a trusted young man or woman to be eligible. But then in conjunction with that nomination process, there's also an academic and physical fitness process that I had to go through, take a physical fitness test, even take specific classes in high school. So as a junior, when I got that letter and started pursuing, I quickly realized, oh crap, I should be taking chemistry right now.
Right.
And so I had to fit that into my schedule and wake up and start school at like 6:30 in the morning.
In order to get that
class on my record for my application. So there's a lot of additional work that has to be done before that acceptance.
Which goes back to the idea of the moms and dads, the grandparents that are watching this that believe that their children or grandchildren might be a good candidate for one of the service academies. Google United States Military Academy or West Point, Google United States Naval Academy or Annapolis, Air Force Academy, Coast Guard Academy, Merchant Marine Academy. Am I missing any?
I don't think the Space Force has one yet.
I don't think so.
They're Air Force.
They're part of Air Force. Yeah. And then start the process. Look at what does it take in order to receive a nomination, and then check with your young man or your young woman, your student, your kindred heart kid, who might need your arm around their shoulder to say, let's walk over here and take a look at this. Then let it be their idea. Once you have those facts, it starts working. You receive the nomination. You receive the acceptance. In February, I had a more unusual thing. I received it in those days. They did it earlier before Thanksgiving. So I received this incredible envelope from West Point that no one in my family of seven siblings, my mother, my father, nobody ever, oh, you got a letter.
What's this?
You know, and I get it. And it says I've been accepted. And a special note, you know, the president speaks highly of you. I'm like, and I put it in the drawer because nothing had happened from the Air Force Academy. A few weeks later, I receive this huge envelope from the Air Force Academy, and my dad brings it down. You know, I had a basement room with seven of us. We were all, you know, housed in different parts of the house. I happened to have, at that point, a basement bedroom. He comes in, and he says, Den, open it up. So I open it up, and it says that I've been accepted to the Air Force Academy and appointed originally by President Nixon again. I'm sure he was thinking, what's this kid doing? Or his staff probably said, oh, just do it, get it done. So I pushed myself back from where I was, put my hands very dramatic. I'd already had it figured out. And I looked up at my dad and I said, I don't think I'll go. Now, what a rat, you know? My dad's like salivating.
Total butthead.
Oh, complete. And he goes, why would you not go there? And I opened up my drawer, just perfect timing. And I pulled it out and I go, because I've been accepted to West Point. And he looked down at it, and of course, he was former Navy, went into the Armed Air Forces, then was there on the first day of the United States Air Force, retired with 21 years. So he knew how to cuss. And he just, with a huge smile on his face, called me something or impugned my heredity. I forget what it was. And he should know because he was my father. And Jess smiled and he said, are you kidding me? I go, no. So that was phase one, right?
Yeah.
Let's go to phase two. What happens when a student, athlete, academic kid graduates from high school and first couple of years of college and then goes to the Naval Academy?
Yeah, so really at that first moment that, you know, you show up to West Point. Well, I mean, I'm sure West Point does something similar. Same thing with Air Force. But for the Naval Academy, you show up that first summer. So you don't show up for the school year in August or whatever. As a freshman, you show up July 1st of that summer for 2 months of what they call plebe summer, or basically boot camp. Is what it is. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty much kind of like you see in the movies to some degree, where they just, you know, take you through the ringer and to help, you know, help catch you up to speed, so to speak.
They're there to help you.
help you get in better shape, you know, help you learn the ranks of the military and things of that nature. But most of it, you're just being herded around, being told what to do all the time.
Do they have a first day that they have a title for that they bring you in on?
Yes. So that first day they call I-Day.
I-Day.
And that's a...
Your eyes flinched when you said that.
Well, I have a totally different experience of I-Day as a junior later on in my time in the academy. But as an incoming freshman, on I-Day is that first indoctrination day where you get all uniforms and they start yelling and screaming right away, and the rest takes off from there.
I mean, it is, as you see on television, a barrage of barbarity. Just no physical harm, but man, the emotional side of it's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
See, ours at West Point is called Our Day. So everybody who's a West Pointer always asks the question, when was your Our Day? Mine was July 8th, 1974. Now, that's a long time ago. We're coming up at a certain point of half a century of remembrance of that. Let me assure you, you and I both know, no matter how old we'll ever get, I Day or Our Day is embedded in our brains. It was the moment I remember going, I felt like, wait a minute, all the brochures, all the uniforms, why are these people yelling at me? What is the deal here? And for me, I had actually injured my sole of my foot 2 days before I got there.
Oh my goodness.
So I had an infection in my foot. And I hobbled in literally on a shillelagh that I have propped in my office against the wall for a reminder of that I can overcome anything. And they ended up keeping me, suturing up my foot, and then cleaning the infection out. And then I had to learn how to march. And I was behind everybody else who'd already been there a day or two because they stuck me in the hospital. That was mine. And thank gosh, I'll tell you what, the reality of my classmates who came together to help me during those days that I was injured have stayed with me all these years later. Mm-hmm. Yours was a different perspective 2 years later as a junior. What tell us about that?
Well, since I threw myself under the bus and brought it up, so a couple of years later as a junior, I was at the campus for... I believe it's like summer training, or I was taking a summer class, something like that. And if you're a midshipman, I'm sure it's similar to cadets. If you're there over the summer, they have you do other things than just, mm-hmm. Your summer training. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that we had to do was a colors detail.
Colors means?
So where, hey, you every morning and evening you take up, you know, bring up the flags, mm-hmm. and then in the evenings bring them down. And in particular, I was one of the leaders of a group who was going to do the flag near one of the admin buildings, kind of near the ward field, the parade field out there. And so, you know, we march along with the flag. You know, my team hoists it up. You know, we do our bit with colors, and then turn around, and well, of course, this was I Day,
the very day
all the new incoming people. So there are people all over the place, and naturally, there were parents and people like watching us do the colors. Well, we're about to turn around, and someone goes like, "Hey, you know the flag's upside down, right?"
No.
So of course, immediately my heart stops for a second. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we just did this. So of course we look up, and sure enough, it was upside down. So of course we bring it down, flip it around.
And in military protocol, that is unacceptable.
In my justification, if there was a day of distress, I-Day is a good day for distress.
Yeah.
Because that's what the upside down flag represents.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
So that's my defense.
Good point.
But of course, we had to correct our mistake. So we had to redo it right there. And we were given more colors duty.
It's interesting that you say that, because I hadn't thought about this in years. But I, as now a new upperclassman, the next year, came around the corner into the central area of West Point, where it was our day. And the cadets, the new cadets, who were still with long hair, and they were shaving it off in the morning, yep. And they're standing there in their gym clothes with awkwardly dark socks and black shoes on. I mean, not only do they make you feel like an idiot, they make you look like an idiot.
That's true.
And so as I turned the corner, not really remembering that was our day, all of a sudden the noise of all these cadets, these upperclassmen, screaming at these, sent me into like PTSD. I'm not kidding. I was like, wait, what? It was like a time warp. And it reinforced in me, okay, this is what I survived this entire last year. Okay, I will feel this feeling for the rest of my life. Not a bad thing, because it's helped me ultimately overcome huge things. In fact, it was very interesting, because I was there at our service academy during the time period of Vietnam War ending.
Yeah.
May 5th of 1975 was a formal end of it. We had a lot of POWs come to West Point and tell us their stories. And one of them actually was a Naval Academy graduate who came and spoke, and it was John McCain. And he said, this is before he was literally anything political, he said that his time at Annapolis as a plebe, which is the same term that they used for West Point for the first year, helped him so much because it was so stressful that he overcame his time as a POW by reflecting and referring back to that. It was a profound moment. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, okay, and of course the West Pointers that had gone there supported that perspective. All right, so now we're in the second phase. Academics are there, athletics are there. Did you ever do anything that could get you a conflict with the authorities and cause you to have...
You mean mischief?
Yes, demerits or any of that. Or were you a very straight and narrow guy?
Oh, man, I was a super boring, straight and narrow kind of guy during my time.
It's a good thing to be.
With exception of one occasion.
Tell us about it, because the parents and grandparents, the people that are interested, the aunts and uncles, may want to know a little bit about that.
Yeah. So this was also during my plebe year. And if you are familiar with the service academies, the inter-rival football games are a big deal at the service academies. Especially Army-Navy's the biggest of all the rivalries.
It's unbelievable.
And it's just, for that whole week leading up to the game, it's just madness and chaos.
Yes.
We call it Army-Navy week. I'm sure you call it the same thing too.
Yep.
And it's, I can't even really describe it in full detail here, but it's just a lot of madness and chaos and mischief and foolery and messing with people. And yeah, it's a lot of messing with your friends, more or less, to varying degrees, I'll just say. But of course, I don't like to really get in trouble, right? Yeah, you know, pretty straight edge.
You're a straight and narrow guy.
Straight edge guy. Like I'm here to do my work. But on one occasion, one of the upperclassmen convinced me to pull a prank on one of the seniors at lunchtime. And so at lunch, it's all family style meals. They bring out all the trays and you serve. And
just don't overstate that. I mean, don't understate it.
Yeah.
You have 4,000 people.
Yeah.
Sitting down at one time.
4,000 people.
And eating.
At the same time for every meal. It's super impressive, like, logistics.
It's remarkable.
Problem that they have. It's amazing.
Remarkable.
It's amazing. But on the tables for Army Navy Week, they'll have they'll have extra things on the tables. And one thing in particular, one item was this like blue and gold frosting that was on the table. I think
blue and gold are your Navy Academy colors.
And we were having cake or something for dessert. one of the upperclassmen convinced me to take that frosting and dump it on one of the seniors, one of the females' heads of one of the other squads or whatever. I still don't know why I did it.
And you were a plebe.
And I was a plebe. But there's more to it than just dumping something on someone else's head. And there are other ways of doing it. But there are rules with the barbarity of it all. And one of the rules if you're a freshman, which as a freshman, you don't really have a lot of freedom anyway. And you can get in trouble for a lot of things. But one of the rules was if you could pull a prank during a mealtime and run up to your room and get to your room before you get caught, you get off scot-free.
Oh my heavens.
It was one of the rules.
I was unaware of that.
So obviously, I'm the best shape of my life being a runner cross country and track. So it's like, oh, this should be a piece of cake. Right?
Literally
a piece of cake. So I take this and, smash it on her head and start to make a break for it through the chow hall. But the floor is a little slippery and I fell into this like group of upperclassmen who were on like the brigade staff,
which
too.
Is the top
of course.
The top.
So of course I got caught, and as a result, for the next like week or so, I had to wake up at like 5 a.m. and go take my rifle and march around Tecumseh Court or T Court that we call it before starting classes.
So for how many hours?
Just like half an hour, something like that. But it was kind of a pain in the butt.
Oh my heavens! Yeah.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, stuff to do.
So no demerits, but that was the closest thing I've ever done to get demerits.
Well. I had 75 demerits. And I, at West Point, when you do things with that planned, spontaneous, it doesn't matter, barbarity, of teasing and fun things, what ends up happening is you have to, they call it walking the area, right shoulder arms, walking across central area, turning around, coming back, walking across, 4 hours. 4 hours. And just recently on a thread on Facebook, a number of my classmates and I were talking about our time walking. And the person who would achieve 100 hours, they were called sentry men. Now understand, I went to West Point when there were no women. So it was all just guys being guys, which is not often a good thing, but it was a fun thing. And so, I ended up in my time there, realized I had all these 4,000 cadets, and they all had Converse All-Stars, which are the clunkiest basketball shoes that you could ever have, let alone athletic, let alone running shoes.
Yeah.
So I reached out to a company that had a very strange name, and they had just started producing shoes through a gentleman that would become a classmate of mine named Tim Ringgold. And Tim had this little business. And so this company said, Tim's going to be giving it up. Would you like to take it over? And I'm a plebe. I said, sure. So I became the first, the second sales rep for a company that they pronounced Nike, that later became, of course, Nike.
Just a little company?
Little company. It was at that time. I would buy all these shoes and then sell them to the cadets. And I realized at that point that my future was going to be in business, not in the military. And for me, just the joy of doing fun things, incredibly goofy things. I had the honor of being president of my class at West Point. And I think they knew me, not because I was a stellar, cadet or midshipman, but because I got things done.
Yeah. Shrewd businessman.
I took care of business. And as a result, the joy and the fun and all that was there. Fast forward, when my youngest son, Colin, became a cadet at West Point, and he was there, he finally understood different expressions that are part of the academy. Mm-hmm. Things that I would say, terms that I would use that were just a part of who I was even after West Point. Now, he is, obviously, he graduated and did his term in the United States Army, and then is a businessman as well. He was telling me that there are still things in his life that come up, that percolate up from the academy, both obviously skill or habit-based, but also just fun-based. And so when you think about your time, well, let's phase into the third part of this. First is before you go to the Service Academy. Second is while you're there. Third is after you leave. What has it been like for you to be involved in that?
So some people, everyone has different experiences of service academies. We were kind of chatting about this beforehand.
Yeah.
You know, it's like some people, you know, say, I had a really great time with a nice fake grin.
Gritted teeth.
Right? You know, there are those people, but I really enjoyed my time at Navy. It was just an incredible experience and opportunity, you know, as we discussed. So for me, in this third phase of being associated with the Service Academy, it's like every time I go back to the yard, there's always a little bit of nostalgia.
Sure.
That I have. And those memories that come up from, you know, well, one, just the overall general midshipman experience, but even my running experience too.
Yeah.
So it's always an awesome experience to go back to the Naval Academy. And well, and in particular, the most recent trip back to Annapolis was back in 2022, October, for our 10-year class reunion, which, you know, makes me feel a little old now. It's like, geez, it's already been 10 years.
I see some gray in your hair.
Yeah, and a little less hair right here, too, for that matter.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
So my last visit was for my 10-year, but that was also the weekend I proposed to my wife, Tears. So it was an extra special weekend.
What an incredible moment. Yeah. See, for us, the joy as time goes on of being with classmates, and ladies and gentlemen, it's hard to explain the bonding with men and women who are classmates from the Naval Academy. For me, the men that I had for my class, since there were not women yet at West Point, is so profound that this past year was our 45th class reunion, 45 years.
Yeah.
And we've lost a number of our classmates who've died either because of age or because of infirmity. But the rest of us are all returning. It's a fraternity unlike any other fraternity, isn't it?
It truly is. I mean, it's kind of hard to describe it any other way, really.
Yeah. So, you know, Cody, you're looking at the moms and dads, the parents, they're listening to your voice, they're seeing you. What do you say to them about what it did for you? And then I'll end with what it did for me.
Well, I truly believe that my experience and opportunity with the Naval Academy was one of the best experiences in my entire life so far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still am not quite halfway through life, so I still have more for it to fully play out. But so far up to this point, it has been one of the most biggest impactful experiences, both on just preparing me to be where I'm at on the professional, you know, business standpoint for you and kind of helping you formulate and learn things in that sense.
Sure.
But even just as we were just talking about with building relationships and truly making lifelong friends.
Yeah.
You know, with the friends from your company, going back every, you know, 5 years or so for reunions, or just significant life events, weddings. It just to be a part of something truly distinguishing and unique that's even among, I would argue, even more special than like other college experiences at some of the bigger schools, just because, well, one, because of the plebe summer experience, plebe year experience, and going through that level of mental, you know, physical hardship.
That's incredible.
All the way through and beyond. I think it's been really, truly amazing.
Well, I all I can say is ditto. You know, it's exactly how I feel. And I would encourage you, if you have an interest in investigating on behalf of someone, the opportunity to go to the Service Academy. There are 5 wonderful Service Academies that you can attend. We joke among ourselves about which one is the best. They're all the best. They're all the best. And to be able to serve our nation, to be able to be gifted an education that was incredible, and then to turn around and help others go there. I think I've been involved in at least 10 to 12 other young men or women that wanted to go to West Point, and we were successful with a team in our state of helping them get there and then graduate and go on and serve. So I think that the only thing I would suggest, if you're interested, please visit my website, DennisMansfield.com, DennisMansfield.com, and you can email me and find out more. I'd also ask you to consider subscribing to my newsletter. It comes out twice a month, and we talk about things of interest to people, not just that are about military or business, but about life, that have helped a number of people. And the newsletter goes out all over the world, and we would love you to subscribe. So go to the landing page, click on the yellow tab that says books, because that'll open it up for you to subscribe. Thanks, Cody, for being with us.
Thank you so much, Dennis. This was fun. I really like it.
It really was. Go Army. Beat Navy.
We're going to have to work on that then.
Thank you.